wrap this up next week. I know I probably won't get to wrap it up today. But it's Pursuit of Expectation, part 27. We've been talking for a long time on that journey with Elisha following Elijah from Gilgal to Bethel to Jericho. You know, it's probably like Days of Our Lives for you guys that haven't been here. You know, you've been gone 6 months, and you come back, and you're thinking, he's still on the same four scriptures. I mean, you know, that's the way I did. I used to watch Days of Our Lives, and I did. I went to the Marine Corps and come back 4 years later, and Bo and Hope were still getting married. they're still at the altar. I didn't miss a thing. So you didn't miss a thing either. We've been on this thing for a long time because we took our time at Gilgal, understanding, looking at it, what it meant, the significance of it, and moving on to Bethel and the significance of that, staying there for a long time, and hoping. I'm telling you what, guys, everybody out there today will be claiming that the church is the house of God. They'll all be claiming that stuff. They don't believe it. Because the preacher will get up in a stand and say it's good to be in the house of the Lord. And he ain't referring to us being in the Lord as Denise was talking about, being in Christ. They're talking about being in this building. You know what they used to do in this building? They used to have college classes here. I guess they used to sell motorcycles. Holy motorcycles. Yeah. But you know what I'm talking about, guys. I mean, that's why we stayed so long at Bethel, looking at Bethel, looking at the headship of Christ. Why is that important? Everybody says, well, God's in charge. That's not why he's referred to as the head of the church. Of course he's in charge. But the reason he gives you that he's the head of the church is so you can see the relationship between the head and the body. That it's connected, that it's one. Christ is ruling my life. You see the difference. Christ ain't ruling your life. He is your life. That's the difference. That is the difference. And then we come to Jericho. And we've been at Jericho for a long time. Uh-oh. Amen, brother. Holy Ghost. I don't know what that was. That's what it was. Holy motorcycle. Hell's Angels. I had to say it. I had to. I had to. Can't miss some opportunities, you know. Jericho. Forgot what city I was at. And I just want y'all to know I only got one page of notes today. But that don't mean nothing.
Oh, you're excited.
He's excited. All right. We can be at the fish house by 12. Jericho. And, you know, we've been talking about Jericho, this other city. This other city that he had to go to, the city that the land was barren and had no fruit, a city that's full of prophets. It's full of prophets. And I told you, and I hope you'll see at least this by the end of this, that Jericho goes by many names. And I told you it's Babylon, it's Egypt, it's Sodom, it's Gomorrah, it's earthly Jerusalem, whatever you want to give it a name, because really, what's always involved, guys, is two, but one is taken away. And only leaves one left. So there's only one city. And that city is the heavenly Jerusalem, of which we are, which we live in, which lives in us. And there is no other city. And you guys know this for natural. You may have a house in another place, a house on a lake or whatever, but you can only live in one. So you're either of the heavenly Jerusalem or whatever other cities they are. See, in the United States, there's thousands, millions of cities. But in this kingdom, there's only one city, only one king, only one tree. In this city, there's only one body. There's only one head. Now, you go figure all this stuff out. The human mind is never going to get a handle on this. But here we come, and that's why Jericho is a place of confusion. Now, let me tell you what, guys. Every one of us have been, and to some degree still are, in the place of confusion. And the only way out of that, well, see, I got some notes down here, but I got to go back and look at something here. Let me go to Joshua first, because this is what really struck my mind. Joshua, that's an Old Testament name. I really do know some of the books and where they are. Joshua 5 and verse 12. And this is what I see. Because here he is going to Jericho. Now, this I'm over in Joshua, but now remember, Elijah is a type of Christ, and Elisha is a type of the church in this on this journey. Believe you me, guys, you cannot bypass any of these cities. The Lord is going to take you there through these cities, starting at Gilgal, then to Bethel, then to Jericho. And let me tell you what happens right here. I'm in verse 12. The manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten of the old corn of the land. Neither had the children of Israel manna anymore. But they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. Notice the manna ceased. I want you to just notice the manna ceased, because people, this church house is out there called the manna house or whatever, you know, the manna house. But I'm telling you, in this place, the manna ceased. Because you know what manna is? Manna's what is it? That's what manna means. What is it? That's what they said. What is it? They come out, the children of Israel came out, seen this white stuff on the ground, and they said, what is it? And the Hebrew word for what is it is manna. Jesus, same thing, and the same thing with Paul going to up there to Mars Hill. This unknown God, I'm declaring him unto you. Because they were worshiping what they didn't know. And you know what? We worship what we didn't know. And you cannot know him until you see him. And when you see him, the what is it stops. It's no more a what, it's who. As Denise was talking about the tree of life and all that, the tree is not a thing. And, you know, people are still looking for that tree over there and looking for, you know, a hidden place and saying all of this and whatever. Not understanding it's a man. So the manna ceased. It's the old corn. And, you know, Jesus told them, and this goes right into what we were talking about, the manna has to cease, because Jesus said, I am that bread. And they ate that bread, and they died in the wilderness. We don't eat that bread no more. We don't eat Jesus after the flesh anymore. We know no man after the flesh. So we've known Christ after the flesh, and we know him that way no more. The manna ceased, Clyde. Clyde knows exactly what I'm talking about. The manna ceased. It's got to cease for all of us. It ceases as we're coming up to this place called Jericho, a place of confusion. And here's what I see. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked. You know what this means, guys. He's getting into this place. And, you know, I'm thinking, okay, the manna ceased. Now what? You've done something away. I'm looking up. In other words, I'm setting my gaze as Paul commanded. Set your affections on things above. I'm setting my affections on things above. And behold, gosh, oh, haven't we been talking about this? Behold, how are we changed? Beholding him. Behold, there stood a man over against him with a sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said unto him, are you for us or for our adversaries? And he said, nay, but as the captain of the Lord of hosts, am I now come? Joshua fell on his face to the earth and gave worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? I just wanted to give you that. Look what happened. He sees a man with his sword drawn in his hand. This scripture was just rolling around, this phrase, a sword drawn. And you know, like Denise asked, what does that mean to you? A sword drawn. I'm going to tell you what it always meant to me before. It meant, gather up the troops, we're going to war. Swords drawn, guys. We're Christian soldiers, and we got to get out, and we got to fight, and we got to convert people and do the Lord's work and get mighty, because the sword's drawn, dripping with blood, and, you know. Come on, guys. Am I the only one who's ever thought you was a Christian soldier? Yeah. It's in the Scriptures. The army of God, come on, guys. That you, I mean, haven't you been called that, called yourself that, the army of God? Patted yourself on the back for a little ground you think you had conquered? Sword drawn. You know, reading in the Scriptures, you remember when Balaam, he's riding on his donkey? And what did the donkey see? The angel of the Lord, but in what posture? Sword drawn in his hand. And this thing got out of the way. And Balaam kicked this thing, and you know, it was such an awesome thing that this donkey spoke. I'm going to tell you what, when you see the angel of the Lord with a sword drawn in his hand, something's going to happen. Now see, this guy is riding right into it, and the angel of the Lord is right in front of him, and he don't even see it. You know, it kind of reminds me of the old prophet, maybe Elisha, when the servants came down to him and said, Master, Master, they're here to wipe us out. And he said, Lord, open his eyes. And what did he see? There's more for us than they are against us. He looked up and saw the mountain covered. I wonder what he see. You reckon he saw New Jerusalem? You reckon he saw the place where... Open his eyes. And that's my prayer, guys, as simple as that. Open our eyes. Oh, Lord. You know, David, you remember David? David, a type of Christ, if you will, but in this scene, David decides to number Israel. Sends his servant Joab out there. They beg him, don't do it. He does it. He comes back. What does he see? 70,000 people's wiped out. David looks up and sees the angel of the Lord with a sword drawn in his hand. You know what David says? I'm in a strait. Lord, can you let this plague come on me? Now, who did I just tell you David was a type of? Can you let this plague come on me? You reckon that prayer got answered? Cursed is every man that hangeth on a tree. Amen. Let's go look at Ezekiel here a second. Ezekiel. We've been in Ezekiel a whole lot on Wednesday nights. Yeah, I forgot what that was. Ezekiel 21. I told you I got to read some stuff. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, set thy face towards Jerusalem, and drop thy word towards the holy places and prophesy against the land of Israel. Say to the land of Israel, thus saith the Lord, behold, I am against thee. I will draw forth my sword out of his sheath. I will cut off from thee the righteous and the wicked. Now, guys, which category you fall in? Righteous or wicked? Righteous? Some of us are going to be in the wicked now. Yeah. Good job, Christian. But Giles shall lead him. Yeah. Notice what he said. I'm going to cut off the righteous and the wicked. The righteous and the wicked. Seeing then that I will cut off from thee the righteous and the wicked, therefore shall my sword go forth out of his sheath against all flesh from the south to the north, that all flesh may know that I, the Lord, hath drawn forth my sword out of his sheath. It shall not return any more. Notice what he says. I'm going to draw this sword out of the sheath, and I'm never putting it back in. Isn't that amazing? Does this mean the Lord is always in a posture of war? I'm telling you what, in us modern terms, that would mean like I'm loading my shotgun, I got the hammer pulled back. And that's the way it's going to say, loaded, hammer pulled back. Because, this is old. I got my sword pulled out, and I'm never going to put it up again. Guys, this has always been a war. And I have told people the war's over. And they always go get that scripture out of Galatians, warfare. Oh, brother. Woe is me. You know, it's constant warfare. Constant warfare going on. That I would do, that I do not. You know the warfare is. The warfare is I'm really wanting to sin really, really bad. And I'm being drawn to it. You know what I mean. And over here, I'm warring against it. Lord, you know the war. If you could just kill me and get me out of the war. And come on, guys. Have we all done that? I'm up and down. I'm having a good day. Praise the Lord. I'm having a bad day. It's over. Here's the Lord, got his sword drawn in his hand. We're always at battle. And Lord, I'm just a good soldier, and I'm putting up a good fight. You didn't put up a good fight. You lost. You lost. Let me just break the news. You lost. The war is over. And one come out in victory. And see, you get to be a partaker of his victory by virtue of being in him and him in you. Well, see, Jericho was a city of confusion. Jericho, there's war going on. There's war and there's warfares and there's all these other stuff. But guys, I'm telling you what. If God, you know what he says in Romans? He said, your unbelief cannot, how's it go? Nullify, if you will, the faith of God. Your unbelief cannot. So if you believe there's a war going on, and God doesn't, who do you think's going to win out on that right there? Can your unbelief make a war? Can your unbelief go up to God and say, and you know, God says, well, I didn't know that. Sorry. All right, you got your sword out. Let's go back to war. You see, sometimes when you begin to see the Lord, some of the things that you have seen and even battled with, you find out to be an illusion. All it is, and what do I mean by that? Guys, I'm telling you what, if you've ever been a kid, I think everybody in here has, and if you've ever seen a real life monster, you know what I'm talking about, because I have. I've seen real life monsters. Scared me to death till the light came on. And then you find out it's a pair of socks laying over the floor. You see what I mean? How many of you have lived in a haunted house? A house with radiators. You know what I'm talking about. Popping and cracking and noise and the wind blowing through something, and you're 7 years old and you are scared absolutely to death. Monsters, demons, possessed, ghosts, everything, battling, seances, Ouija boards, the whole thing. Till you look back and you joke about it, laugh about it sometimes, you know, when you get older. But there's some people are still out there looking for them, fighting battles with them, because they're in the darkness. But you, who has he delivered from the what? Power. You see, darkness has a power. It'll control you. Darkness has a power. He has delivered us from the power of darkness into the kingdom of light. The kingdom of his dear son. Now this kingdom of darkness, the power of darkness, I'm telling you, is Jericho. Where he stands with his sword drawn in his hand. We see that here in Ezekiel. Look at verse 9. Son of man, prophesy and say, thus saith the Lord. Say, a sword is sharpened and furbished. It is sharpened to make a sore slaughter. It is furbished that it may glitter. Should we then make myrrh? It contemneth the rod of my son as every tree. I mean, he just talks over and over. Look at verse 20. Appoint a way that the sword may come to Rabbath of the Ammonites and to Judah and Jerusalem, the defense. Appoint a way. Did not Jesus say, I'm the way? Now look at verse 21. For the king of Babylon stood at the parting of the way, at the head of the two ways, to use divination. He made his arrows bright. He consulted with images. He looked in the liver. And his right hand was divination for Jerusalem, to appoint captains, to open the mouth in the slaughter, to lift up the voice with shouting, to appoint battering rams against the gates, to cast a mount, to build a fort. And it shall be unto them as a false divination in their sight, to them that have sworn oaths. Do you see what's taking place, guys? I'm going to tell you why. Everyone, we started out in Jericho. Everybody starts out there because you see earthly things and you try to compare earthly things to spiritual things. And you cannot. As we talked about the other day, there is no earthly example of spiritual things. That's why spiritual things must be revealed. But we say, well, what about marriage? You see, those things, guys, we have those things for carnal mind. Those things are only there to get you to turn to see him. Because when you turn to see him, he is the definition of marriage. He gives a definition. Whatever you thought was marriage is done away in that glory. You see the difference? Rivers, trees, all these other things are done away. Done away. Look what he says here. Thus saith the Lord God, remove the diadem. I'm in verse 26. Take off the crowns. This shall not be the same. Exalt him that is low and abase him that is high. Exalt him that is low, abase him that is high. Now, don't we use verses like this, guys, because I'm going to go over there in a minute. Don't we use verses like this to say, y'all better be humble. Because if you get too high, God will strike you down. He's got a sword drawn in his hand, ready to cut you down at every move. Guys, I grew up in a place that we preached about pride and how sinful it was and how bad it was, and swore that none of us had it. And when I look back, probably the most arrogant, prideful person that ever existed is yours truly. I still see it in me, guys. I still see it. When I see the Lord, I see exactly the ugliness of me. That's why you fall on your face. Oh, Lord, though we prayed, though we got down on our knees and we begged God, told him how high and lifted up he was, and if he would have mercy on us, low down, dirty dogs. But then we would go out. I'm going to go over there here in a minute and not cast our pearl before the swine. You know what I'm talking about? Cast out that that is holy before the dogs. So I would have to go out and judge. Clyde then therefore must be an unholy dog. He's a swine. And I cannot talk scriptures to him. You know what the scripture says above that? Judge not. Lest you be judged. But I've got to judge that he's a swine and a dog. So that, but I'm not proud, Lord. I just thank you gave me the mindset to know the difference. You see what I mean, guys? Walk around and just pure. And I just thank the Lord. He winks at our ignorance for a time. And then it's time for it to cease. You know, Paul said, when I was a child, I did childish things. But when I become a man, I put away childish things. Look what he says in verse 27. I will overturn it. It shall be no more unto him until he come whose right it is, and I will give it to him. I will overturn it till he come whose right it is. A sword drawn in his hand, guys. Let me go back here to Genesis a second. You'll think this is crazy. If you do, don't say it out loud. Just keep it all to yourself. Genesis 30 and 36. Now here is Jacob. He's in the land of Laban. He's over there with Laban, his father-in-law. He's got his wives. They've been having kids and all this other stuff. And now Jacob is a type of Christ. You know that. So here he is, and there's a division being made between Jacob's stuff and Laban's stuff. Now, right now, who's got the most? Laban. And Laban is even being blessed because Jacob is there amongst him. But there comes a time when the sword is drawn and there is a division made. That's why we're at Jericho, guys. That's why we see the Lord with a sword drawn in his hand. Look what he says in verse 36. And he set 3 days' journey betwixt himself and Jacob. My. We've been talking about three cities. Bethel, Gilgal, Jericho. We've been talking about 3 days, death, burial, resurrection. We've been talking about that altar, the outer court, the holy place, the most holy place, Passover, Pentecost, tabernacles, wisdom, understanding, knowledge. You're never going to get away because this makes a great division here. Set 3 days' journey between himself and Jacob. And Jacob fed the rest of Laban's flock. Even isn't it amazing that he still fed Laban's flock? Jacob took him the rods of green poplar, hazel, chestnut tree, peeled white streaks in them, and made the white appear which was in the rods. I wonder what that white is. Guys, I'm going to tell you what, this is the same rod right here that rule all nations with the rod of iron. Let me tell you who the rod is. Let me tell you who the rod of Aaron is that budded. Who do you think that is? That is none other than Jesus Christ. The rod that's in Moses' hand when the waters parted, none other than Jesus Christ. Here is these same rods right here, but now they're in a different posture. They're peeled back. What do you think That means he peeled the bark off of them, Clyde. He pulled the flesh off of it so they could see the righteousness, see who he really is. I'm talking none other than the revelation of Jesus Christ. He peeled it back so these sheep could see the revelation of Jesus Christ. Let me keep reading. And he set the rods which he had peeled before the flocks in the gutters and the watering troughs when the flocks came to drink, that they should conceive when they came to drink. I mean, my Lord and my God, this is Jesus Christ sitting on the well, pulled back and exposed. And here comes the woman to do what? Drink. And he says she's going to be fruitful when she comes and drinks this water. And what does she do? She runs back to her city and says, come see a man told me all things. Come see. Oh, Lord, can you see? All these things are fulfilled in Christ. And this is none other than the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now listen. And the flocks conceived. How did they become fruitful? Before the rods. And he brought forth cattle, ring, straight, speckled, and spotted. Jacob did separate the lambs, set the faces of the flock towards the ring, straight, and all the brown in the flock of Laban. And he put his own flocks by themselves and put them not into Laban's cattle. Do you see this division being made? And it came to pass, whensoever the stronger cattle did conceive, that Jacob laid the rods before their eyes of the cattle in the gutters, that they might conceive among the rods. The stronger cattle means you got to be strong. Paul told us how we're strong. When I am weak, he is strong. And when you're in this weakened condition, set before the revelation of Jesus Christ, you see? But when the cattle were feeble, he put them not in. So the feebler were Laban's and the stronger Jacob's. And the man increased exceedingly and had much cattle, the maidservants, manservants, camels, and the asses. You know what, guys? I'm just going to tell you this, and I got to go over here to Matthew for a second. He peeled these branches back, these rods back. And I told you that's none other than the revelation of Jesus Christ. What do you think a sword drawn in his hand is? It's not him out to war. You can call it a war because it wars against the darkness, but how much of a war is it, guys? Let me tell you something. I came up here Thursday. I did some computer stuff, and I walked in this room. It was pitch black dark. Let me tell you how fast the war went on. I flipped into darkness, didn't say, oh, hold back the light. Who does that, guys? You ever wake up in the morning, and a bright sun, and you open up your eyes, somebody turn a light on? What do? You cover your eyes. You put a veil. Does it change the fact that the light is there, and the darkness has fled away? The darkness is only in you. Because you refuse to see. Because what happens? The light is so bright that it hurts, doesn't it? It hurts, and you have to adjust. Let me give you another one here. Isaiah 21. The burden of the desert of the sea. As whirlwinds in the south pass through, so cometh from the desert, from a terrible land, a grievous vision is declared unto me. Grievous vision. The treacherous dealer dealeth treacherously, and the spoiler spoileth. Go up, O Elam, besiege, O Media. All the signs thereof I've made to cease. And verse 4, my heart painted, fearfulness affrighted me. The night of my pleasure hath he turned unto fear unto me. Prepare the table, watch in the watchtower, eat, drink, arise, ye princes, and anoint the shield. Now he's talking about a battle here. Now this is, he's telling them they're eating, they're drinking, they're preparing for war. You see what's taking place. And this is what we do. We bring people into the church and we prepare them to war. Always fighting against the devil and fighting against sin and fighting against unrighteousness and fighting against this and fighting against everything. For thus hath the Lord said unto me, go set a watchman, let him declare what he seeth. He saw a chariot with a couple of horsemen, a chariot of asses, a chariot of camels, and he hearkened diligently with much heed. And he cried, a lion, my lord, I stand continually upon the watchtower of the daytime, and I'm set in the ward whole night. He sees another chariot, and he answered in verse 9, Babylon is fallen. Is fallen. Remember he said a watchman, what did he see? Babylon is fallen. It is fallen, and all her graven images of her gods hath he broken unto the ground. Look at verse 11, the burden of Duma. He calleth me out a seer. Watchman, what are the night? Same story is going on. The watchman said, the morning cometh into the night. If you will inquire, inquire, you return, come. The burden upon Arabia. Verse 14, here you go, clad the inhabitants of the land of Teman. They brought forth water to him that is thirsty. They prevented with their bread him that fled. You know who, and I just got to throw this out because I told Clyde this earlier, Teman. He's the son of Ishmael. That answers a lot of questions, though. Son of Ishmael. Do you see what's taking place? He's going through the destruction of every one of these. Warning every single one of them. Every city, every town, every one. Go set a watchman. Tell me, what do you see? It's fallen. It's fallen. It's fallen. Let me tell you what, guys. I know myself, right in my own house, living right over here. The Lord, he asked me one day, do you believe me? And, you know, any other time I would have jumped up and said, yeah, Lord, thou knowest. I didn't answer because I knew not to answer that question. I knew it wasn't about my belief. I go and I sit down on my bed for about 45 minutes, and I've told you the story before. I can't tell you how wonderfully awesome it is and devastating at the same time. The Lord said, I will show you something. He took me right into this book of Joshua where all this war is going on, and he brought me to the place where Joshua is doing battle and the sun is going down. And he says, Joshua says to the sun to stand still in the sky. And the sun stood still in the sky until all the inhabitants, all the enemies were slain. And the scripture says something here that always got my attention right there, because the Lord took me right there. I'd never heard anybody preach it before. I hadn't seen anything in it other than it's a great miracle. But here it was. He said, and the son obeyed a man that day. Never before had this been done, and never since. And I said, what do you mean? This is Jesus. Jesus became obedient that day when they said, crucify him. And the son stood still right up there on that tree she was talking about on Golgotha until all the enemies of Teman and Jericho and the Amorites and the Perizzites and Babylon, every one of them gone, perished by way of what? The sword. Because in this, I told you the revelation of Jesus Christ. He's dividing things up. As we talked about before, what is he dividing up, guys? Go back to Clyde's book. He divided the light from the darkness. Amen. And he called the darkness night, and he called the light day. What do you think he's talking about? He divided it at the cross. Let me tell you what happened at the cross. The darkness said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He forsook
the darkness, Clyde. He cut the darkness off and separated it right there. And he's delivered us from the power of that darkness, Christy, and brought us into the kingdom of his dear son. A kingdom of, you know what he called the light? He called the light day. Aren't people looking for the day of the Lord? You're in the day of the Lord because you're in Christ Jesus. He is the day. You see, while one is crying out from the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? There's something else going on there. It's called the revelation of Jesus Christ. The Father and the Son is walking through there because, see, he died on that cross as Son of Man. He didn't die on that cross as Son of God. You see the difference? He was both. Son of God and the Father was cutting covenant right there on that cross. And division made. I hope you can see what I'm talking about. Go to Matthew with me. Let me show you something here, guys. I'm gonna breeze through this, but I just got to show you this right here. To show you Jericho. Matthew 5. See if I can hit home a little bit here. This is called the Beatitudes. Everybody in here knows the Beatitudes. One thing about it, I'll bet you we're not allowed to bet in church. Oh, thou greatest and high father. Child has done another bet in church. I don't mean to say that, guys. I'm just kind of mocking religious. I've been right there, guys. I have done things, and, you know, people say, oh, well, you can't say that in the church. It's all right to say it out in the parking lot. Yeah. But you can't say it in a church. You know. God might strike you down with lightning. Well, he did that already. He did that already. He struck you down already. Here we are in Matthew 5, and seeing the multitudes. Here he is, seeing the multitudes. He went up into a mountain. I wonder what mountain that is. You reckon it's Mount Zion? And when he was set, I want you to notice he's going to deliver this to them from a place of being set, of rest. Now, guys, notice this starts out from a place of rest. Oh, Lord, guys, please hear me. This starts out from a place of rest. We made it a place of confusion. And you're saying, oh, no, I understand it. Well, just hang on. Hang on, we're going to get on a speedboat tour here. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit. Yay, that's me, poor in spirit, right? For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That's mine, because I'm poor in spirit. If you're going to come up with this place, guys, you got to be poor in spirit. You know, that verse always bothered me because I always wondered, poor in spirit, am I allowed to rejoice because I'm so happy? But yet, when I come up into the house of the Lord, I got to be poor in spirit. So I got to stop my rejoicing and come in here and be poor in spirit so I can get, you know, I just feel like a guy with his foot nailed to the floor and I'm running around in a circle. Right? Which way do you do it? Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn. Oh, yeah, that's me. Oh, Lord, I'm the most mourning. Not complain, Oakley. Mourn. It's different. Different. You got to clarify when you're with Oakley. For they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. I always wondered that, too. How do I be meek? You know, I can't rejoice. I got to mourn. I got to be meek. Now, a lot of Christians will put that face on when they come up into the house of God, right? They're going to come up in there meek, humble, mourning. And we wonder why nobody wants to come to church with us, right? I mean, I'm just telling you guys because, now I told you it's bad luck. Guys, I might make fun of this, but I've been right there. I've been right there. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after. Oh, that's me. I'm hungry and thirsted after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Amen. Blessed are the merciful. Well, I showed merciful this morning, you know. Zach, I said, hurry up before I beat you to death. But I didn't, so I was merciful. So that's me too. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. That's got to be me. Pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. Ah, you know, I saw Clyde and Christy about to get into it. I stepped in and said, you know, Christy, thou shalt honor thy father. Clyde, don't provoke your children. And I was the peacemaker. This is all about me. I love this book. For they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. And Derek was making fun of me this morning because of my shoes. Said it wasn't appropriate, but I've done it for righteousness' sake. So I'm persecuted, I'm mourning, I'm poor in spirit. Mine's got to be the kingdom. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you. Oakley did that, and persecute you. They shall say all manner of evil against you, and it's all lies, Oakley, falsely, for my sake. Rejoice and be glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted thou the prophets which were before you. Ye are the salt of the earth. Now this has got to be me. This is all about me, ain't it, old gay? I'm the salt of the earth. Have you guys been told you're the salt of the earth? And you go around and try to be the salt and try to be the preservative and the peacemakers? How often did it work? Not very well. You see what I'm talking about, guys? And the salt right here, you know, if it's good for nothing, it's cast out, trodden underfoot. Oh, and here we are. You are the light of the world. I've preached this 1,000 times. You're the light, you're the light, you're the light. Bless you, you're the light. You're a morning light that's persecuted. Right? I just read all that to you guys. Now, we can't throw none of it out. You're a morning light. How does a light mourn? You're the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill that cannot be hid. Where the city that's set on a hill with a morning city light. Now, is this a city that you want to come to, a mourning, persecuted, meek, humble, sad city? Trodden underfoot. Is this a city? Oh, see, we'll pull them verses out, right? We're going to take them verses out. And that's me, me, me. Neither to a man light a candle, put it under a bushel, but he puts it on a candlestick and gives light to the whole house. So let your light so shine before men. Y'all remember this is Jesus talking here, right? Giving the Beatitudes from this place. And he tells them, let your light shine. Oh, we got a song about it. I'm going to let it shine. I'm going to let it shine. It's a little light of mine. A little light. I'm going to let it shine. Lord just gave me a little light, but I'm going to let it shine. I'm going to let it shine. And that's what we go around and try to do. We do all these things, and we're doing them and doing them and doing them. Amen, sister. She's amen. Why does he say right here, that they may see your good works? Oh, no need for me to do my good works when you can't see them. That's why I want to get a commercial. And I'm going to get a commercial and say, look at this little dog right here. He's got worms. And if you will just give $27 to me, I will get him a flea bag worm shot. Send your check over to me. You see what I'm talking about, guys? That they may see your good deeds. And then he says, think not. Now, that's really me. Think not. Amen, brother. That's the only one of these I got down so far. Of all the Beatitudes, this is it. Think not. Think not that I'm come to destroy the law of the prophets. I'm not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Verily I say unto you, not one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till it be fulfilled. Whosoever shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men to do so shall be called least in the kingdom. Whosoever shall do and teach them shall be called great in the kingdom. Now this is Jesus giving them this speech. You got to understand that, guys. And what we're all listening to this speech, and I'm making fun of this speech because we think the speech is about us. And it's something for me to go do and don't do and mourn and be happy and be sad and be persecuted and all this other stuff. Then he says, let your light shine. You know what? He's telling them, go try this. Go try. I want you to give it your whole effort. I want you to let your light shine before men. See, this is what Paul did, didn't he? Paul went out and said, man, I'm going to let my light shine. He said, I'm going to go out and be the best that I can be. But he says, sin deceived me. And it slew me. Then he said, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of this death? Jesus says, I want you to go out and do this. All right, big guys, I'm telling you what the law says, what the commandment says. I'm expounding it to you. Here we go. You know these verses. I said to you, except your righteousness to see the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. You have heard it said in old time, thou shalt not kill. Whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say to you, whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. Let me tell you, Scott, you know what angry means in Scripture? We always think angry means I'm mad. In Hebrew terms, angry means if I treat Clyde different than I do Oakley. If I treat them in any way different, then I have shown favor to one and anger to another. Have we done that, guys? My Lord and my God, every one of us. And see, in God's mind, this is anger. Because what did he do? How did he treat? How did God so love the world that he gave? He drew all up into a son, counted them all dead. Why? That son may live in you. That's love. You see what I mean? That is love. Let me just keep on reading. You know, it says here that you can't look on a woman and lust after her. He says, if you bring your gift to the altar and a brother has aught against thee, leave that gift before the altar. You know, we brought all these scriptures into the church and tried to work them all out. I'm just looking through here. Thou shalt not commit adultery. You know all them. Whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a bill of divorce. But I say, if he puts his wife away for anything, save him for the cause of fornication, causes her to commit adultery. And whosoever shall marry her that is divorced committeth adultery. Ain't we used all these scriptures, guys? We've used these verses to turn people out of the church. Or do not let them in the church. Or somebody who has been divorced can't preach because they've been divorced. And they're living in idolatry or fornication or whatever word you want to call it. That's what we do to people. We don't go on and read this verse. We just take them out because we think they're all about us. Not supposed to swear. Let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay. You know the scriptures, turn the other cheek, right? And we go out, do we not try to turn the other cheek, guys? Oh, he was mean to me, I'm going to turn the other cheek. I'm mean, I'm meek, and I'm mourning, and I'm blessed, and I'm poor in spirit, and I'm the light of the world, and I'm the salt, and I've got to turn the other cheek. We do all these things, guys, and we come out and we teach them for commandment's sake. We do that. Love to pray. So I was reading this morning. He says, when you fast, anoint your face. And just go on like you're not. My gosh, guys, I have fasted before. I have quit eating Reese's cups and peanut butter sandwiches and everything else. I've literally fasted before. Any good religious person has fasted before. Now, when is this written? This is Jesus after the flesh in... before the cross. Just get that. This is before the cross. When you pray, don't use vain repetition. Kind, gracious, never been abashed, oh great and eternal God, if it could be your will. Your Father knows what you need before you even ask Him. Oh, ain't that a good one? Ain't that a good one, guys? Your Father knows what you need before you even ask. So when you go there, and we're always asking, hey, what do you think He knew what you needed? You needed life. That's what you needed. That's what He gave, Christy. He gave that son that is that life to you. He knew what you needed before you even thought of it. You didn't even know that you were dead. You didn't even know that you were the darkness until the light appeared, and he knew what you needed before you even asked. Then he said, when you pray, here we go, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen." How many of us still pray that prayer? We talked about this on Wednesday. But let me just throw a little something out to you. He says, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." Go read Hebrews. And what does Hebrews say? "I come to do thy will, O God, that he may take away the first, that he may establish the second." My friends, if he took away the first and establish the second, which is the work of the cross, thy kingdom has come. This prayer has been answered. Instead of praying this prayer and putting it on your refrigerator, rejoice in its answer. And that answer lives in you. You see what I mean, guys? That answer, it has been answered. This whole thing has been answered. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." We're seeking. But who is this about, guys? He says, don't consider the lilies and take no thought. And we do this and we try to take no thought. Haven't we tried it, guys? We've tried to take no thought and all this other. But who was this talking about? Who was the only one who had no thoughts other than his Father? Who didn't say a word other than he heard his Father speak? Who didn't take a step other than he said, "The Father, take this step. The words that I do, they're not even my words. They're my Father's words. And the works that I do are not mine, but the Father's." Who was the one who had nothing in view but the Father? But we in Jericho have tried to fulfill these scriptures and tried to pray them right and fast right and be meek and humble and put on our sad morning rejoicing, let your light shine, salt of the earth face to go up into church, instead of rejoicing in the fact that the salt has come and the salt ain't lost its savor, and that savor is Jesus Christ. Amen. And that savor is always going up into the Father. Amen. And it's well pleasing to the Father, and no matter where I go or what I do, that Son in me is always well pleasing to the Father. All spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus are yea and amen.
Amen.
Do you see? We've done all this and we've divided up the swine and the dogs and we've done all them other things. But you remember we've done a lesson over here. But see, Jesus taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes, which teach over in Jericho and teach these doctrines, these commandments, as things that you got to do and don't do. Oh, stay with me. I'm almost done. Told you I only had one page. One page. Go to Revelation. Revelation chapter 18. Isn't it amazing how we always end up going over to that book of Revelation? We got something out of Genesis and we go to Revelation. "And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven." I highlighted that in my book. Another angel come down from heaven. Guys, you heard what Denise said this morning. Don't hear her, hear what the Apostle Paul said. Paul says that we were crucified with him, but we're raised and seated with him. Where at? In heavenly places in Christ Jesus. "After these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven." What did John see coming down from God out of heaven? Did he not see New Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven? And if you want to look, if you've read ahead a little bit, we've been 6-8 months on the whole thing. Well, after Elisha, the mantle fell back to the earth, where did he go? Did he not go right back to Jericho? Did he not go right back to the land of confusion? Why did he go there? Same thing right here. He's coming back to declare something. And what does he see? See, this angel comes back with having great power. "And the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily. That's what I'm telling you today, guys. Mightily. With a strong voice saying, Babylon the Great is fallen. Is fallen. And has become the habitation of devils and the hold of every foul spirit and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. All nations have drunk of the wrath of her fornication. Reward her, I'm in verse 6, reward her even as she rewarded you. Double it to her, double according to her works. In the cup which she hath filled to her, double. How much she hath glorified herself. Guys, this is why I went over to the Beatitudes, because every one of us have glorified ourselves, and we've claimed something of those scriptures for ourselves. We're the salt of the earth. We're the light. We're the city on a hill. We're meek. We've been persecuted. We've done everything. We sit there in our own glory. Every one of us has. She lived deliciously in that. But so much torment and sorrow give her. For she said in her heart, I set a queen and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death, mourning, famine. She shall utterly be burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. Look at verse 10. Standing afar off, the fear of torment, saying, alas, alas, the great city Babylon, the mighty city, for in one hour is thy judgment come. Notice it said in one day. Wonder what day that was. You recognize the day of the Lord? You recognize the day of the cross? And in one hour, what did Jesus always tell them? Woman, mine hour is not yet come. Mine hour is not yet come. What hour was he talking about? He's talking about that hour of his cross when he cried out, not my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But when he cried out, it is finished. Do you see what I'm talking about, guys? Now this mighty angel comes down to this city proclaiming Babylon has fallen. This city y'all are living in ain't even a city. It ain't even a city. I'm just going to flip over here and give you another one. Revelation 19. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Hallelujah, hallelujah. Salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments. For he hath judged, not going to, hath judged her, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants in her hands. And again they said, Hallelujah, and their smoke rose up forever and ever. And the four and the 20 elders and the four beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne saying, Amen, Hallelujah. A voice came out of the throne. This is what we've been talking about on Wednesday nights. This voice comes out of the throne saying, Praise our God, all you saints, and all you that fear him, both small and great. And I heard as it were the voice of the great multitude, as the voice of many waters, as the voice of mighty thundering saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, not going to, is come. And his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. The fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. This goes right back to them poplar branches being peeled apart. And he saith unto me, right, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. You see, now we're getting our blessing. Them other blessings, the meek, that's Jesus. The poor in spirit, that's Jesus. The salt of the earth, that's Jesus. The city, that's Jesus. Right? The one that's persecuted, that's Jesus. It's all Jesus. But now, he says, blessed are they that are called to the marriage supper. You know what, guys? You've been called to something. You've been called to a feast. You've been called, as that woman said, come and see a man. He is the feast. You see, that old man has ceased. That old man has ceased. And he fell down to worship him, and he says, See, thou do it not, but I am thy fellow servant and our brother that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And I saw heaven open. Now we're going to get somewhere. And behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and righteousness he doeth judge and make war. Remember, he's got a sword drawn in his hand. His eyes are a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. Do you see what's happening here, guys? He's going out to make war. But where's the sword coming out from? The sword is coming out of his mouth. The sword that will never be put in, back into a sheath. Did he not say this word will not return unto me void? The sword is the word. It goes out of his mouth. He is the word. And what does it say? Behold, I am the first and the last. I am he that was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. That's the sword that goes out of his mouth, conquering and to conquer, that makes war with everything and smites it all, because he is the one, behold, that is alive. And here's the thing, guys. That one lives in you. The one that was dead, the beginning and the end, the Alpha, the Omega, the eternal life, the tree of life, the throne, the one they look for, lives in you, the head of his body, the church. Jericho's got to go, guys. Jericho's a land of confusion, a land of people looking for something, looking, begging, crying, pleading, trying to do all of these things, like Paul. And then Paul finally comes to the conclusion, I am crucified with Christ. That is the answer to the old wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from this death? How can I get out of this mess that I'm in? Ah, I see the grace of God. Who shall deliver me from this body of death? I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. Christ liveth. Where at? In me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by his faith. The faith of the Son of God. You know what James said, the Lord says, you go out in the Beatitudes and do these things. You know what James says a doer of the word is? Because, guys, we've been trying to do them. What's a doer? A doer is waiting. Waiting on him to be revealed who has done all these things. And where's he going to be revealed? Where he's at, where he lives. In you. His church. His body. You see what I'm talking about, guys? My goodness, I'm going to close this thing down. Hopefully we'll get out of Jericho next week and be done with it. But I'm really glad to see everybody out. And glad you guys come and got to be back with us and healing up. We still got a couple that's out sick, so remember them in your prayers. And guys, if you don't hear nothing, guys, from now on, when you hear any of those scriptures out of the Beatitudes, don't try to go do them. Rejoice in the fact that they're done. Amen. Already. Don't go out there and try to pray the Lord's Prayer. If you got it up on your wall, leave it there and look at it, and every time say, Amen, bless the Lord, that prayer's finished. That prayer's not even finished, it's answered. It's answered. I don't have to go fast because he did. He's the one that was blessed and meek and righteousness and the salt and all that stuff. And I can rejoice in the fact, here's how God loved me. He gave that son to live in me. He gave that one who is the Amen. The faithful and the true, the Word of God. You see what I mean, guys? Oh, that frees me up. I don't know about you guys. I've tried to do all them beatitudes, and all it did is give me a real bad attitude. I tried. Don't worry. But I will.